Grow Great, the podcast. It's about your leadership. SMB owners, CEOs, and executives unashamed of being called operators. Brief, concise insights, perspectives to help you avoid and eliminate blind spots in your daily leadership. The website is growgreat.com. I'm your host. My name is Randy Cantrell. Today, you're listening to episode 315, Technology, Future-Proofing, and Efficiency. One of my first big technology projects involved custom programming for a point of sale, POS. Yeah, and you thought it stood for something else. A POS system. Programmers were on site almost around the clock for months and months and months and months, and well, the cost was just out of control. Nightmare does not begin to describe it. I don't think disaster really properly typifies it either. It was a mammoth failure. The only thing that came out of it was a deep education for all of us involved. Mostly, let's don't ever do this again. But you can't stop using technology. You can't neglect putting in the work to future-proof your business. And we all need to find ways to be more efficient. The question is, how can we best accomplish these things? People. People, that's the answer. A goodly number of people. And not just anybody, but people qualified to provide valuable insights. People who may disagree with each other, too. If I had it to do over, my POS project in the early 80s, it would have been handled very differently. Back then, we had technology folks, and these folks claimed to know what they were doing. Things were so new, I failed because I trusted that they knew more than me. I knew what information I wanted. I just didn't have any idea how to get it. The technology nerds at the time, they were arrogant in their prowess because, well, at the time, management information systems, it wasn't even a thing. And as business people, we were sort of hostage to the few people around us who claimed to know how to get things done. Thankfully, it's vastly different today. Part of the failure then was the early stage of the tech. And part of it was my human failure to incorporate more brains into the room to figure it out. You should be giving attention to these activities and these areas of your business, technology, future-proofing, and efficiency. Not everything will involve a computer, but much of it will. Today, I want to spark your imagination. I want to give you some practical tips that may help you in your quest to elevate these things inside your company. Step number one, get the right people in the room. Now, this isn't always easy because too often I have found that people do it too quickly without enough forethought. They think the obvious players, and these are the players that they assemble in the room, but sometimes it doesn't go beyond that because it's often the least obvious people who can provide the greater value. Make your list of the usual suspects. I'm not saying eliminate them, but that's fine. Get them assembled. Get them on your list. Now, make your list of the most unusual suspects. These are the people who have an insight that the most brilliant people in the room may lack. I can't tell you how many times I have encountered where a low level, and I hate to use that word, but I'm getting to use it because you understand what I mean, when a low level team member recognizes something, sees something very quickly that the brainiacs in the room overlook because, well, this person's dealing with this problem from their perspective every single day, and the brainiacs, they're not. Who touches the process? Who does it every single day? Who's affected by it? Are they in this room? Are they providing input? You better get them in the room. You better make sure they've got a seat at the table. Think of anybody who may be able to provide insights to help you figure this out. I would strongly encourage you to assemble a very small team, including yourself. I like the number 3, and I like it because it's small and it's odd numbered. And assemble this team to review who is going to be involved in vetting the projects. Nothing is more important than assembling the right people in the right room to help provide good answers and solutions. This team is also going to provide the discussion and the debate that's necessary to get the best answers to all the questions, and probably more importantly, to think of all the best questions to ask. Pick the right people and do not be afraid to invite outsiders either. Step number two, dive deeply into your operation. Question everything. Why do we do it that way? That was among my top questions always. Find out the reason, because it can be enlightening. You know, it's reminiscent of that old story. You've heard this story of the man who, his wife sends him to the store for a ham, and after he buys it, she asks him, well, why didn't you have the butcher cut off the end of the ham? And he says, well, why would I want to cut the end of the ham off? And she says, well, Mom always did it that way, and that's good enough for me. And, well, the wife's mother was visiting, and so they ask her why she always cut the end off the ham. And Mom says, well, because my mom did. And, well, mother and daughter and the man decide, let's call Grandma because she's still alive, and maybe she can solve this three-generation mystery. And Grandmother, of course, promptly replies that she cut the end of the ham off because, well, she didn't have a pan that would fit otherwise. Ask questions, lots of questions. Find out why you're doing what you're doing. You may learn that there are reasons that are just as stupid as having a pan that's too small for the ham. Step number three, dive more deeply into other industries. I don't know why more people don't do this. I've never understood it. Industry tunnel vision is real, and we are all prone to it. We see best practices, we read our industry rags and what the best people in our industry are doing, and we copy that as the best way, and oftentimes it's not. It may simply be the best known way by so-called industry leaders. Copycat cultures exist in every industry, and they're dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. They limit our beliefs, they stifle our creativity, and they just give us a vanilla sameness to things. Look at any industry. It doesn't matter what it is. Here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, lots of car ads, lots of car radio ads. Listen to these ads. They're all doing the same thing. They're all saying the same thing. Why would a customer go to one dealership over another? I don't know. No reason, really, because they're all the same. They're all reading each other's newspapers. When you move more closely to examine how other industries tackled a similar problem, you can begin to expand your thinking outside the realm of your enterprise and your industry. Make appointments with other CEOs or operators willing to share with you the stories of how they are tackling, how they have tackled some of these issues. Now, this is where I really enjoy having this small team. Take your small team with you. It's another reason why I just want to have a couple of other people with me, three of us total. It just makes it easier to go visit these kinds of folks. Let these people with you in your little team, let them hear and see these insights. You don't want to be the only one who carries that back. You need other people viewing and seeing it from their perspective as well. Step four, assemble the information so the discussion and debates can be lively and fair. It's important to put every idea on trial for its life. It is equally important that the trial be fair. Do not omit important information because somebody already has an end in mind. When parties start squaring off, and they will, in opposition to each other, on what course of action we ought to take at some point of your choosing, be timely with this, but at some point of your choosing, stop the conversation. Stop the discussion when you feel like, okay, this conversation's not getting us anywhere. Then ask each side, take the opposing view. Force them to take the position of their opponent. When you do this, the truth can more easily emerge. And it also helps each side see more clearly the viewpoint of their opponents. Step five, try for consensus, but accept the best answer for your enterprise. Personally, I'd like to reach consensus if it's possible because it just makes for a higher performing culture. It's not always possible, though. The way I attempt this is to influence and persuade, not to manipulate, not to coerce. But sometimes people don't see it. Sometimes they don't want to see it. Sometimes maybe they're too dug into their position and they're unable to see anything beyond their own biases and viewpoints. That's okay, but you can't be swayed from doing what you think is best. Give yourself whatever time is necessary to make the decision, then assemble the team and let them know the decision. Everybody has got to accept it, and they have to accept it without moaning and groaning or resentment or threat of sabotage. Make sure everybody salutes the decision and they commit to making it a success. I personally would not tolerate saboteurs. You handle that however you deem appropriate. Step six, do not be afraid to course correct. Even with all the prep work, even with all the discussion, even with all of the debate, the decision may not prove to be 100% on point. It may be completely wrong. It may just be slightly off. That's okay. It happens. Regroup and figure out what you can learn now that you're some distance into the project. What isn't working that you thought would? Is something else working better that nobody saw coming? What has changed? What do we now know that we didn't know when we pulled the trigger on this project? Questions, questions, questions. Leverage questions as long as you must to drill down into what actions now need to be taken so that you can get things back on track. Make the changes as quickly as you can. Make them without delay. Let the team see how willing you are to course correct. This isn't about somebody's ability to be right. Rather, it's about getting it right, the decision, and get it right no matter what. This is no time for people's pride, especially your own, to get in the way. And so there it is, technology, future-proofing, and efficiency. Pursue these vigorously. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. And Lord willing, I will talk to you Friday.